language of bleeding love. Bleeding love. That seems to be such a contrary thought. Bleeding love. Atoning love through the passion and suffering of Christ on the cross. That's what it took to atone for our sins. Please turn to Matthew 19. Three verses this morning, 13 through 15. Matthew 19. Let's pray together as we come to hear the preaching of His Word. Oh, we've desired to exalt You, O God. Through responsive reading, through the singing of psalms and hymns, through our prayers and praises. But first and foremost, O Lord, we understand it is what You have done for us. And we pray for what You will do now for us. Would You speak to us through Your Word? Would You grant that it would be taught wisely and faithfully? And that our hearts would again be stirred up to wonder at Your grace and mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of the Lord from Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Then children were brought to Him that He might lay His hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And He laid His hands on them and went away. Children can get in the way. They get underfoot in the blink of an eye, and if you've been here long enough to walk the hall of Providence, yes, it seems like you turn around and you might stumble over another little one who is maybe yet crawling or maybe has learned to run. And face down, eyes at the ground, moving their weight and their body and their mass forward, and you stepped into them, or they've caused you to have to jump out of the way. We know that children can, well, they can get in the way. We are told, well, they just take too much time for my busy life. You got to train them, you got to instruct them if you care to do that yourself. You got to set boundaries and expectations. Now, it is true that children need boundaries, expectations. They need house rules. It does take time and sacrifice to instruct and teach them. That is, it takes time and sacrifice. Not something that this nation has in great number or great strength. We are not a people, generally speaking, in our nation that are given over to self-sacrifice. But there's something else that they need. Oh, we think about, yes, the instruction and the teaching, and they have to have their boundaries, and they have to know what's expected of them and have their choice. And all of that's good. I don't mean that to say, well, you know, that's all overly burdensome. It's not. That is very positive. But they also need, and this is actually what those things move towards, they need to know the blessings of being part of the family. They need to have provision that comes with being part of a family. They need nurture. They need protection. And they need the joy of play. Being able to get out and, yes, go out in the park, or sometimes they're running up and down the hall, that they know what it's like to be able to enjoy the blessings God has given them. Not just to have those blessings, but to be able to learn to enjoy the freedom to come and go within the midst of the people. And sometimes they let out a loud voice in the nursery, and that's okay. Parents, want to assure that maybe they're not getting out of hand, but sometimes kids, they get excited, don't they? But all of that is part of children growing up in a place where they're learning to belong. And that's what they learn in all of these things. They learn where they belong. They learn that they're not of the utmost importance. They're not the first things. They're not given their way, and it is not for them to begin everything they desire, and they're not to be given a place over their elders, but yet they are important. They are part of the community. They are part of the covenant community. They have a place among us in the church. Without those things, a child can easily become anxious and unsettled, wondering where they belong, wondering, who is it that's supposed to care for me? What am I here for? The three verses we have in Matthew 13 through 15, we'll discover as we go through it, are not really extraordinary. There's something very ordinary and common for children to be blessed by a teacher. That wasn't unusual. Yet within those simple three verses, Jesus presents something that does amaze, that does stir up in us a sense of, wow. Jesus teaches us in these three verses that children should be shown their place in God's kingdom. Not just their place in the family, but their place in the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus draws out for us in this text. The first thing we need to see is the faith of the parents. It says, children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. It's most reasonable to understand that this would either be the parents, father or mother, or someone within the household. We know that the household was a tight-knit group within Israel, and someone who has their spiritual interest at heart brought them to Jesus Christ. They were taken to him. The children weren't of their own will, just flocking over to Jesus. Not that that didn't ever happen, but here we see that they were brought to Jesus, that there was someone who had responsibility for these children and the care for these children, who thought, Jesus is the one who can bless and pray for our children, and we want him to bless and pray for our children. We're not given a lot of detail about what their faith entailed, but it is certainly an Abrahamic faith, an understanding that their children belong to the covenant community, and their desire to bring their children to a teacher of Israel for blessing was simply very natural, very common, very ordinary. Rabbis, teachers, synagogue leaders, the people would go to them to bless their children because of the authority they understood they had as teachers in Israel. And it was done commonly by the laying on of hands, by that touch. That communication to the child, that something extraordinary, even as it is also ordinary, was taking place. That to them belonged blessings. That praying for them was a natural thing that was to be done. Now we should understand that these children were included infants. Luke uses the word that would refer to these children as infants. That's not to say they all were, but certainly some of them were. Children of minor age, they're taken by their parents. They're not necessarily of the age of accountability, as we would say, 12, 13, 14 and older. There may have been, but here we have expressed that they are brought. Luke, again, expressing that these were infants. These are those who do not necessarily have their own comprehension and understanding yet of who Jesus is, except what they are taught by their parents, which they received because the Jewish community, the Israelites, were very, very much a transgenerational faith. They understood they belonged to the tribe of Abraham. How much these little ones could express that is not as important as the fact that their parents were teaching them this. Their parents understood that this belonged to them. All Christians instinctively see their children as having a special place, whether they view it covenantally as being part of the covenant, or just that they are part of the family and the life of the church is important to them. Every parent, Christian parent, understands that their children are important and have a place in the church, whether they are received as members or not. They perceive them to be, rightly so, having a special place among the people of God. We understand there is a difference between a child being taught and instructed in the things of God and a child of unbelievers. We know that Jesus did not immediately respond to the Syrophoenician woman's plea for her daughter. That while Jesus was not being mean, Jesus was not being vicious, but when he said that the bread is for the children and not for the dogs, he was expressing that what belonged to Israel and the blessings of Israel belonged to Israel and their children. And the Syrophoenician woman was not part of Israel, and what Jesus was doing was drawing out her faith. But within that was the understanding that the child of Gentile unbelievers was not held in the same sense as a child of Israelite believers. There was a difference, a distinction. Even as God said, you should be holy to me. For I, the Lord your God, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. So we see here clearly the faith of the parents, and there's something very ordinary about that. There's nothing unusual for parents to bring their children to a teacher to be blessed. We have to consider why these verses here in Matthew and the like in Mark and Luke, why are they preserved? It seems something just so ordinary. Parents taking their kids to be blessed. It was done. It was just done. Well, certainly there is the fact that they take them to Jesus, which would not have been encouraged by the scribes and Pharisees for sure. But secondly, I want you to see the disciples' overreach. We know the disciples, we've seen them goofing and making mistakes and errors. We saw certainly Peter trying to tell Jesus, no, you shall not go to your death. And Jesus responding, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking of God's things, but thinking of man's. And we know that they've had problems when Jesus told them to feed the multitudes. And they said, well, you know, it's time for them to go out and get something to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. We know the disciples struggled with their place, trying to protect in their own thinking Jesus, who was the king and the messianic king, who had certain privileges and was going to rule over a kingdom they thought was about to happen on earth, that he was about to rule and get a throne there and now. And they're thinking always about their own place, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and thinking about their place in guarding and protecting the exaltation of Christ, and perhaps even his weariness. And we're told they rebuked the people. It doesn't say they rebuked the children. But we understand that what they mean is, why are you people taking your children to Jesus? So let's think about that for a moment, why this is overreach, because it's going to get to this consideration that I want us to really get out of these three verses. that what is ordinary, Jesus highlights as amazing. So the disciples look at these children that come in. It is a very common thing for people to do. We see at the verse 1 of 19 that Jesus had come. He was healing the people there. He was going on in the ministry, a miraculous, wondrous ministry. He's giving sight to the blind here. He's causing the lame to walk there. He's casting out demons over there. He's raising the dead over there. All these wonderful things. And in the midst of Jesus doing all these wonderful, miraculous things, children are taken to simply bless and pray for. Really? Bless and pray. Take them away. You're bringing them in. That's common, ordinary stuff. He doesn't have time for that. He's doing great and wondrous and miraculous things. Great, miraculous, amazing things. There's no time for the ordinary blessing of children. He's too busy to deal with a crowd of little ones being brought to him and set on his lap and set at his feet so he can simply bless them and pray for them. First of all, as I think we all know, in our own day, as in theirs, children were loved. They were viewed as part of the people of God, yes. But in those days, there was a 50% chance, estimated, that 50% of children would die before they reached the age of 10. And that it was very important to, for the protection of the inheritance and the care for the parents, that they would have, especially sons, to be able to care for them and provide for them. And that the death of a child or the significance of a child in the life of the covenant family was something they desired as a blessing from God and understood they were a blessing from God, even as they also understood they needed to be trained and taught and instructed. Children were desired. They were cherished, even though they were not coddled. There was a great need for the children to survive. We must even consider what kind of blessing were they asking. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord grant that you'd be able to hold on to your inheritance and not have to sell it. Be able to work the land that has been given to you, not have to become a servant of someone else. Have health that you might be able to do that work and care for others. Be a participating part of the Israelite community. May our children grow up not to be cut off from Israel or apostatized, but be part of that, and that they would grow up with that ability to do those things, the things they would ask of God, as we would certainly desire for our children, the blessings of godliness, of wisdom, of an understanding of God's law, to be able to obey it. But with all of that, the blessings of Abraham, the place of children, blessings upon them, very ordinary. That's why it amazes me when you come and you see these three verses. It's like if we had three verses that simply said, and the people went to synagogue and listened to Jesus. Well, they did. But people were going to synagogues. People went and expected to be taught. There's something ordinary about that. Jesus is the one who's extraordinary and changes things. But we certainly should see here that these small things were as important to Jesus Christ as is signs and wonders. As important to Jesus Christ as giving a blind man vision and giving speech to someone who grew up dumb, or causing someone who was lame and could not walk, therefore could not labor and provide for themselves or their families, giving them strong legs to get up. Those things were wondrous, amazing. So is the blessing of the children. Common and ordinary? Well, it was, if you think just how often it was done and how expected it was to be done. But to the one who had come, and as the disciples understood, it was doing these great signs, these great wonders, it seemed, why take your time with that when you could be doing something else? There's a sick person over there. There's a lame person over there. There's a blind person over there. There's a dead person over there. There's a demon-possessed person over there. And there are all these children. Because Jesus finds the extraordinary even in the ordinary. There's no, oh, that's just simple. That's too easy. Give him a challenge. Jesus doesn't need a challenge to show his compassion and love. He blessed the children because that was as important as giving sight to the blind. That should encourage parents and grandparents. Really should encourage you. You think, well, we need to pray for those critical high value prayer targets. The things that would be amazing if they were answered. Praying for the children, praying for God's blessing on them, we almost feel like, well, I'm ashamed to ask for something so simple, so ordinary. Yet, as Jesus blessed them, laid his hands upon them, he didn't think it was beneath him to take something so ordinary and show himself to be the Lord of the little children of the covenant that were gathered to him. Wonderful, wonderful. Children, you're important to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are important to him. He does not think you are too much underfoot. He does not think you are too much of a burden. He is not too busy solving wars in Europe to care about a little child whose parents and church want them to grow up receiving the blessings and knowing them and knowing Jesus Christ. It's not a small thing. Do we believe that? Do we believe that there's something not only ordinary, but something amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ would care for the covenant children? Care for his people. He does. And I think typically we see that as the end application of these three verses. Jesus loves the little children. Well, he loves the children of the covenant particularly. And we're going to see now in the third point, Jesus blesses the children of the covenant. How wonderful these three verses really, really are. Because the very presence of the words kingdom of heaven tells us there's something special about this. It's in line with Jesus' gospel preaching that he would do this very thing. It's important news, important part of the good news that Jesus says what he says here. There's really something wondrous. If someone were to ask you, if you let your children ride in your minivan, you would find that to be an odd question, right? Someone says, you really let your children ride in that minivan? And you would probably have a response, a kind of a quizzical response, and say, it's a minivan. You simply say, you know, maybe you won't say, duh, but you'd say, it's a minivan. Well, of course, what a silly question to ask if I let my children ride in the minivan. Minivans, after all, are made generally speaking. I know some contractors and things, but generally speaking, they're for kids and grandkids. For soccer moms and dads, as some of you know, my young friend who comes around every now and then, and I have a minivan, and I at times, well, I used to drive it to work all the time, and he would come by, and he'd say, that's a soccer mom car, and he'd have his little sports car, you know, a little nice Honda Civic or something along those lines, and he'd just poke fun friendly at me and say, it's a soccer mom's car. Well, yes, but, you know, it's what I have to drive. But we understand minivans. But understanding Jesus' response is kind of like understanding minivans when the minivan is a Rolls-Royce minivan. Leather interior, all the electronics, everything that you would possibly need with GPS, phone connectivity, and all those things that, and whatever else is new that someone would want in their great gas mileage. It's just, well, maybe not. But still, all those things that make a Rolls-Royce, now it's a minivan. We can see letting kids ride in a, we used to have a Ford, what is it, Ford Venture? No. What was the Ford minivan back in the day? We used to have one. It was green. Or a Chevy minivan or a Honda Odyssey or a Toyota. What's a Toyota one? Toyota Sienna. We can kind of understand letting kids, but leather interior, you can really seriously can put a car seat in that and rough up the leather. Are you really going to let children in that? Well, understanding what Jesus says here is saying, well, absolutely, children can ride in the Rolls-Royce minivan. It's for them. So the spectacular, healing, all these things, it shouldn't unseat the ordinary in the life of the believers. The Rolls-Royce minivan is still a minivan because the ordinary is itself spectacular. Remember, every disciple is an amazing thing. Every disciple is an amazing creature. Everyone who has been drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the very work of grace, because of Christ's work on the cross. It's just a wonder of a miracle of God that any of us are saved, right? We look at each other and we should think, well, not only it's a wonder that I ever became a Christian, it's grace of God. Nothing less than that. And grace is really amazing. Every ordinary thing we look at in our Christian lives is rooted and grounded in Christ's work, and it is therefore a wonder and amazement. And we need to remember that. It's a display of His goodness. And while miracles had been rare, though Jesus did them in many, many ways, He continued the work of healing and casting out demons, it was still something viewed as unusual. They didn't happen every day and everywhere. Jesus was doing these things. Those were, we think, well, those are amazing. Blessing of children wasn't seen as so amazing. Yet there's something Jesus says is wonderful about it, so much so that Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it, and Jesus says, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just let the children come to me and do not hinder them, but He gives a reason, and it's that reason that really kicks this to an amazing thing. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. The rule and reign of God through His Messiah that brings about salvation accomplished and brings about the judgment of all those who will not believe. Christ being that Messiah, this amazing thing, the kingdom of heaven, which is Matthew's main point, main theme running throughout his book, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has come. It is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And while people may understand easily that the blessings of Abraham come to the children of the covenant, Jesus says, now I usher in the kingdom of heaven, and to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. That even now, in a time of accomplishment, the Old Testament, the time of promise, the time of waiting, the time of expectation, the blessings of Abraham that looked forward to the seed, as Paul defines Jesus Christ, the seed through which all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And now that blessing of the kingdom of heaven belongs to the covenant children, and yes, indeed, to all those who are far off, as the gospel goes. To these children not only belongs the regular blessing of Abraham that the rabbis would have given, not just the ordinary blessings, which are extraordinary in themselves, that would have been given by a priest. Not only that, Jesus, as the one sent by the Father, whose authority is directly from the Father, now blesses the children because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That is amazing. That's amazing. The kingdom of heaven. God's rule and reign is for their good. The blessings of Christ's coming, his death, burial, and resurrection, all the change that it has brought about in the people of God, and all now that has become accomplished and received, in which we now, as those after Christ, live, and all those blessings of joy and belonging. Belongs to such as these. The blessings of the Messianic age, not just the age of expectation, but the Messianic age belongs to these children. Now, some have, in the different interpretations of this text, have said this, that what Jesus is saying is what he was saying in chapter 18 when he says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, what Jesus is saying here is that he blesses the children as an illustration, or as a type of what an adult disciple looks like, or is supposed to look like. Adult disciples, as he had to correct his own disciples, were to be humble, to understand their dependence upon him, to be obedient to him, to serve others as more important than themselves, and to understand their place as receivers of God's grace. As little children receive the care and the nurture of their parents and receive the food at their mother's breast and receive all those things just naturally, humbly, having received what is a gift to them by their parents, growing up in their household and understanding what is required of them and all those things, they just, well, where else are they going to go and be so cared for? To whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life, Peter said to Jesus. And they say, because of that, what is really happening here is that Jesus is not saying that to those children that were gathered around him belongs the kingdom of heaven. It's not that at all. It's that to those who are like children, and their attitudes and character and humility to Jesus Christ, belongs the kingdom. that this is an object lesson, that Jesus does bless disciples who are marked as being humble, trusting, dependent upon him, and obedient to him, and that this does not in any way teach that the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children. But it is little children that are brought to him. And they are not brought to him as though the parents were giving Jesus, here's an illustration. There are little children that sat around his feet. He laid his hands upon real children, not illustrations. He laid his hands upon children, not as types. He didn't bless children by saying, well, bless you as an illustration of what a disciple ought to look like. And if it were true that children here are only serving as an illustration of what discipleship is like, we should understand that Jesus would have never taken a Gentile child of an unbeliever and done the same. Syrophoenician woman example. He wouldn't have taken a foreigner outside of the people of God who did not have parents who believed in the Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and said, well, here's a child, and they're Gentile, and little children in their Gentile families learn from their families and have these certain expectations and learn where they belong. So I'll bless this one as an illustration that disciples are supposed to be humble, obedient, learning, and growing. No, he wouldn't have done that. These are Israelite children, brought by their parents to Jesus for a reason. Now, children brought to Jesus can serve a dual purpose, because Jesus did say to his disciples, unless you turn to become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 18, verse 3, and highlight the example, or rather highlight how wonderful the blessings of the covenant really are. That he laid his hands on those children, and it was those children, not just as a type, not just as an illustration, but those children, including infants, according to Luke, were blessed by Jesus. And because he says to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, that blessing upon which he set upon their heads and what he prayed for them had connection to what he himself had brought in the fulfillment of all the promises of Abraham. To such belongs the kingdom of heaven. He blessed children with kingdom blessings. That's amazing. That's astounding. Now, this passage is not about infant baptism. It's not. There's nothing in here that says the children were baptized. But it does give credence to it. It does indicate in Jesus' understanding that the children of believers were to be considered and treated as part of the kingdom of God on earth. That to them belongs the kingdom of heaven, to such as them. Now we believe that the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision in the Old Testament, is baptism in the New Testament. But that's a discussion and an argument that has a premises to get there. But here we at least see that Jesus receives the children of believers and takes the ordinary blessings of the covenant and adds the remarkable blessings of the kingdom of heaven to them as children, not just as illustrations. as flesh and blood individual children within the covenant community, whose parents took them and brought them and set them before Jesus for a blessing. And the remarkable thing about the whole situation is not that they sought the blessings of a teacher, which is ordinary. Still amazing because the blessings of Abraham. But that Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Our brother read from the book of Joshua. And on both sides, the 10 tribes and the 2.5 tribes on the Transjordan part, the eastern part of the river, you know what happened. They had built an altar not to offer sacrifices, tribe Gad, Reuben, half tribe of Manasseh, but to say, we do not want that our children ever be treated as if the covenant doesn't belong to them. We don't want a day to come when your children over on the west side of the Jordan, where the tabernacle is, and all those parts of the majority of Israel reside, to ever say to our children, because you're on that side of the Jordan where the tabernacle is not, then you don't belong. And they don't want their children ever to be tempted to follow after foreign gods because they told them they didn't belong. And both sides were jealous for it. Both sides were jealous for the honor of God. Did you catch that? Both sides were jealous. Both desired the continuity of the Abrahamic faith to be known among their descendants through all the ages. Let it not happen. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus takes these children into his arms, he blesses them, he lays his hands on them, and he prays for them. For to them, to such as them, belongs the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, help us to be rightly jealous for our children, that they might be instructed and taught the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessings of the kingdom of heaven that Christ himself brought and is coming and appearing in this world. Help us to give them that sense of belonging as part of our nurture and care. Help us to instruct them to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to own that faith as their own, to embrace it. Grant, O Lord, that we might find this all to be so very amazing. It's just another part of your amazing grace. And while we may be accustomed to it, may we never tire of praising you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.